Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. We know it's the faith chapter, the hall of faith, however you want to say it. And these folks were listed here for a reason. Some of them were nameless, but they still, the common theme among all of these that were mentioned here in this chapter were they finished the race. They finished well. And now they are cheering us on, so to speak, in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that's just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. They have all finished. They know the ending, but we haven't got there yet. So we have to take the testimony that they've given us and use that to help us to finish well. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We want to take that verse and sometimes just mention it by itself, Hebrews 11, 6, and it's a powerful verse. But we have to understand 5 and 6 belong together. And so we have this familiar passage of scripture. We have this man called Enoch. And we know that the Bible says there's not a lot written about Enoch, but what was is 100% positive. And we can learn a lot from just the few words that were mentioned about Enoch, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And how did he please God? He had faith to believe in God, even though he may not have saw him face to face. And so it goes on to say here in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, and here's where we're going to center in on tonight, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For about 6 months, I preached a series of messages on the Jehovah names of God, and then all those led me to other names of God. And we really can't, I can be preaching from now till Jesus comes and never exhaust the names of God that are mentioned in the Word of God. But my favorite is, I am that I am that I am. Because it doesn't matter what situation you face in life, thank God there's a name of God that can be attached to that. And the greatest name of all is, I am. Because whatever you need him to be, that's what he'll be. And so we know that Hebrews 12 says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. But here in Hebrews 11 chapter 6, it mentions him as a rewarder. He's a rewarder. And so that's where I want to center in on tonight, with the thought certain restrictions apply. I want you to notice tonight, it does say that he is a rewarder. Now what that means, and you'll understand the title of my message in a little bit, it means he is the renderer of the reward. It does not mean he has to reward you. It just means he is responsible for the reward. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above. Every blessing, everything you receive in this life comes from the rewarder, the hand of God. But just because he is a rewarder, there are certain restrictions that do apply. He's not going to reward you just because of who you are. He's not going to reward you of the great heritage you may have. He's not going to reward you of how many times you haven't missed church. No, he's going to reward you because he is God, and beside him there is none other. He has the right to reward us, and he has the right not to reward us. And the conditions of the reward are simply this. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Here it is. Here's the restrictions of them that diligently seek him. Seek him. And so if we are going to receive the rewards and the blessings that he wants to bestow on us, how many of you are thankful for that tonight? How many are thankful and believe that he can reward us? Of course he can. But there are certain restrictions that apply to this. And he gives us a promise. The first promise is this. You must believe that he is. You must believe that he is self-existent. You must believe that he is omnipotent. You must believe that he is omnipresent. You must believe that he is omniscient. You must believe that he is infinitely perfect, existing in three different persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful tonight that no matter what we need, he can be that in our life. He is simply is. He is whatever you need him to be. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the one who created the universe and holds it all together. He is the one who always was, always is, and always will be. He is the one who's unmoved. He is unchanging. He is undefeated and never outdone. He was bruised for our iniquities that we may be healed. He was pierced that he might ease our pain. He died to give us life. He fought the battle against darkness to bring me peace. Worlds cannot understand him. Armies cannot defeat him. Schools cannot explain him. Leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. And New Age cannot replace him. He is light. He is love. And he is Lord. He is goodness. He is kindness. He is gentleness. And he is God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is mighty. He is powerful. And he is pure. His ways are right. His word is true. He is unchanging. And he thinks about me. I'm preaching better than you're shouting tonight. He's my redeemer. He's my savior. He's my guide. And he's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. And he's my hope. I serve him because I love him. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. He gives me life that I might have life more abundantly. He's all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all loving. And he is all caring. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never will leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never mislead me. And he will never forget me. When I fall, he picks me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I am weak, he is strong. When I am lost, he shows me the way. When I'm afraid, he stands by my side. When I am hurt, he heals me. When I am broken, he mends me. When I'm confused, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I have problems, he solves them. We must believe that he is. He is. And whatever you need him to be, if you want him to be a rewarder, certain restrictions apply. You have to believe that he is. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe he can do anything? Has he done something for you? Has he ever failed you? No. Well, was he there yesterday? Was he with you today? Does that mean he'll be there tomorrow? Of course. Hallelujah. He's never failed us. He is. We have to believe that he is. And so he goes on to say there's other restrictions that apply. You have to believe that he is. But you also have to believe that he is a rewarder. And here's the restrictions of them that diligently seek him. You'll find three different passages of scripture in your Bible talking about people diligently seeking the Lord. And you'll find the rewards that they received will be the same rewards that we will receive if we learn to seek diligently after God. First of all, we have our text verse. It says that by faith Enoch was translated. He should not see death. God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what was the reward that Enoch received? Enoch received the reward of communion. You said, Brian, what are you talking about, communion? The reward that Enoch received was simply God himself. Because he learned to diligently seek after God by faith, he received fellowship and communion with God like no one else I read about in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and then he simply was not. Now, I've heard people comment and said, did he actually see a visible presence? I don't believe he did, because that wouldn't be faith. But we know he had faith because he pleased God. This verse tells us. So that means I believe every day by faith. Enoch got up and started his journey down the road. And he just said, Lord, can you walk with me today? And he said, sure. If you're seeking after me, I'm going to seek after you. and they had a relationship unlike any other that I read in the Bible. And every day of Enoch's life, while he was on this earth, he had a testimony that pleased God, and he walked with God. And we know the old illustration says this: they were walking along one day, and at the end of the day, God said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are yours. Why don't we just go to my house? And so he took him on home. I'm telling you what, folks, when we learn to seek diligently after the Lord, there is no greater reward than to have personal communion with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No greater reward than God himself. My great uncle Carl Brown was a great man of God, and he had a great testimony as well. And I'll never forget the story that he would tell us when he would stand up and testify. He would have a business there at the flea market, and every Saturday he would leave his home there, and he would drive about 30 minutes over to the flea market, and basically he would try to lead people to Jesus is what he was doing, because I think he just got his tools out of the garden and out of the barn and just called them antiques and tried to sell them. But I think he was just trying to win people to Jesus is what he wanted to do. So he would get over there in his bibbed overalls, and Gary, he'd get in that Ford Ranger, and he would leave the house there at Beach Fork Hollow, and then he'd go up the road up 348 there. Some of you know where that's at. And then he'd go up the hill called Bloody Run Hill. And here was his testimony. He said, I'd begin to talk with God when I left the house. And he said, I'd say, Lord, help me today to lead somebody to Jesus. And he began talking and communing with God. And he said, I'd start up Bloody Run Hill. And as I got to the top of Bloody Run Hill, here's what he said, I dare not look to my side, because it was almost if God was sitting in the cab of the truck with me. Oh, that's the kind of relationship that I want to have. Not because it was my great uncle, but what a great testimony tonight, folks. I want to live as close to God as I possibly can. That way he don't have to shout at me. All he has to do is whisper my name, and I say, Lord, here I am. Communion. Personal communion. And it pays to seek diligently after the Lord. And when we begin to seek diligently, God will reward us with certain revelations and certain things in our life that we can give all the glory back to him. It was several years ago that I was in bed, and some of you shout amen right here. Don't you wish God would reveal things to you at 7 in the morning? Amen. But see, we're already busy by then, aren't we? We're already doing things. But no, usually when he reveals stuff to you is in the middle of the night when it's quiet. So it was middle of the night and 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I woke up. And the power of God just came, and he said, Brian, I want you to pray for Mike McCoy, song leader. And I said, God, what's his name? And he said, don't matter. You know who he is. Just pray for him. And so as I was praying for him, and a vision came to me, and I saw this song leader standing in front of the church singing Victory in Jesus with all of his heart. Didn't know his name. All I knew, he was a song leader at Mike McCoy's church. And so I put it off for 2 or 3 days, and the Lord just kept impressing on me, you got to call Mike and tell him. And so I put it off for 2 or 3 days, because it's just not something you see every day. And I didn't want to, I just felt like I was crazy. It was just on me. So I called and said, hey, Mike, I got to tell you something. He said, the Lord woke me up and I had a vision and I saw your song leader. I said, I don't even know his name. He said, his name's Gary Lewis. And I said, okay. I said, I saw Gary up front. And I said, the power of God was on him and he was singing. And the Lord wanted me to just to tell you that. That's all I know. That's all I want to tell you. And all I heard was this. And it was the phone drop. And I heard Mike McCoy saying, glory, 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 brother. Glory, brother. And he goes, whoa. And he comes back to the, he said, brother, I'll call him right now, brother. And so he calls me back and he says, God has answered our prayer, Brian. You say, what are you talking about? He said, you don't even know what Gary's going through. There was a situation in their life. He was about ready to give it all up. He was about ready to even quit church and just quit everything. And he said, but I told him what the Lord showed you, and he's going to just stick in there. It's going to be rough, but God's going to help him. And listen, you look at, can you stand up? Can you stand up, Gary and his precious wife? They was about ready to lose it all. They was about ready to lose their marriage. About ready to give up. Now he's pastoring over in Nebo, North Carolina. Hey, it wasn't anything I did. But I'm telling you, what a great reward when you have personal communion. Woo! With Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to feel that in the morning right there, I tell you. I just pulled a hammy. I know I did. Amen. Hallelujah. Communion. What a reward. What else does he give us? He gives us the reward of completion. Completion. Luke chapter 15. Another familiar story. The parable of lost things, right? Parable of lost things. And we know we have the sheep. We know we have the son. But we have a woman that has lost some silver. In fact, it was one piece of silver. We know she had 10 and she had lost one. And the Bible says she sought diligently for its return. You said, well, Brian, 90% is pretty good odds. Having any young people in here, if they get a 90 on a test, they're shouting glory. When I was in school, it was 95. Now they've lowered it to 90 as an A. But they're still happy with it. 90% is good. 90% to the world's pretty good odds. In fact, you can make hundreds of millions of dollars being about 30% good if you're a baseball player. Yeah, you can bat 300, be 30% good, and make $320 million over the next 13 years. So to the world, 90%, why even worry about the one? But see, she wasn't complete if she didn't have all 10. That piece of silver went on a headband. And that represented her life, her reputation, her testimony. And if one piece was missing, she would have went out into the community and they would have looked at her. And they would have said, something's wrong in her life. She's immoral. And see, she was trying to keep her reputation pure and godly and holy. See, that's the problem with our churches today. We're satisfied with being 90% holy. Come on now, I'm preaching. We're satisfied with being just about 90% all in with God. And most of the church would say, well, 90% is good enough. Hey, when it comes to God, he's looking for a clean and spotless church when he comes back. A bride that is without spot and without blemish. And my friend, if you're going to expect to get a reward from God, if you're going to expect to receive blessings from him, he's not wanting 90% of you. He wants 100% of you. And when we're going to understand 90% is not enough when it comes to God and his rewards, we must be complete in his eyes. Seek diligently after it. If we want to receive his reward. Well, let's move on. Finally, first of all, we have the reward of communion. We have the reward of completion. And finally, I want you to notice the reward at the conclusion of our life. 1 Peter chapter 1 gives us some great verses on this. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Here it is now, listen. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. You say, what does that mean to us, Brian? That means that the prophets of old were seeking diligently at a day when their faith would end in sight. And they knew the end was coming. They knew the end of their faith, the end of their testimony was just ahead, and they sought diligently after it. You know, if you search diligently for something long enough, you're going to find it. because your mind will never be off of it. Have you ever lost something and it just you know, you think you know where it's at? And it doesn't mean much to somebody else, but you know you lost it. It might be your keys. It might be a guitar pick that I lost a little bit earlier. It might be something precious to you. And you just keep looking for it. It's on your mind. You can't get it off your mind. You just keep looking until you find it. That's the way it needs to be with the end of our faith, the end of our life, the end of our faith, which is heaven. That should be on our mind constantly. Lord, I'm seeking diligently after it. I'm not going to keep my eyes off of it. And thank God one day our faith will end inside if we continue to seek diligently. At the end of our faith, we'll be rewarded at the conclusion. And you know that I love that Hebrews 11 and 12, they go together because they're connected by one great word, wherefore, in Hebrews 12, 1. So we have all this list of runners that have already finished. And then Paul, I believe he wrote Hebrews, he goes on to say, you know what, we're compassed with all these great witnesses and they've already ran. And so let's stay light as possible. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking diligently unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What was he saying? He said, finish line just in sight.
Thank you, Lord.
Keep running. Keep running. Pastor, weary, tired, keep running. Sunday school teacher, keep studying those Sunday school lessons. I had a Sunday school teacher once. Her name was Bernice Queen. She taught me about Jesus. Mary Alice Witt taught me about Jesus. And it's because of them.
Amen.
And my mom and daddy. They taught me those stories. Never gave up. Continued teaching them. I know we drove them nuts. But that didn't matter. They kept on teaching.
Amen.
They're already in my balcony. Waiting for me to get there. Now, we liken this life unto a race, and it is a race. It's not a sprint. It's not the lightning bolt at Dollywood, by the way. No, it's a marathon. Ups and downs, hills and valleys. We have a preacher at our church. Just went through a cancer surgery actually this week, and all things look pretty good right now. And they're waiting on pathology, and so we've been praying for him. And the other day, he was speaking to me, and we were talking about this subject. And he said, you know, back when I was a lot younger, he said, I used to run marathons. And I said, man, I never would have known. And he said, yeah, I know. I looked a lot skinnier back then. And I was like, well, you know, we were joking about that. And he said, yeah, we'd run. And in fact, he said, I was on a team, and we would run as a team and try to finish together because it's always better to run with somebody. And he said, so we were running this marathon, and we got about 5 miles out of our finish, and I began to cramp up. I had a stomach virus the night before, and I still ran the race, even though I shouldn't have, and so I was very dehydrated, and I began to cramp up. He said, I was getting sick throughout the whole most of the race, and I was about 5 miles out, and I cramped up, and I couldn't go any longer. And so I was holding my teammates up. They wanted to keep going, and I knew I was holding them up. And I said, just keep going. You go ahead and finish. And I'll just try my best to finish the race. Don't worry about time. I just want to try to finish. So he would stop, and he would cramp up. He'd try to rub those cramps out. He would get some water and just try his best just to finish the race. And he said he got about a mile out, and there was a little turn in order to get to the straight stretch. And he got to that straight stretch, which is about a mile long to the finish line. And he said he got about a half a mile in. And he said, as you get closer, he said the crowd is getting larger because that's where all the families are waiting and friends are waiting. And he said, as I got closer, I could hear somebody calling my name. And his name's Brian. And they said, come on, Brian, you're so close. Come on. And he said, I recognized it. It was my friends that had already finished the race. And they were just cheering me on, trying to get me just to finish. And the time didn't matter, but it was just a matter of finishing. And he said, so I could hear him as I was getting closer. And as I got closer, the cheers got louder. And he said, I got almost to the finish line and my body cramped up one more time. And it was like it was almost the most difficult part of the race was right at the very end of the race. And he said, so I was cramping up and I looked up and I heard my friends, but I looked up and just across the finish line, there was a medic tent. And on top of that medic tent was a white cross on a red tent. And he said, if I could just get to that cross. He said, I know that that's where I can find help. If I could just get to the cross. And so that gave him a little bit more encouragement. That gave him a little bit more life. It breathed new life into him. And he got up and he finished the race. And when he got to the end, his teammates were there to encourage him and thank him for running and not giving up. I'm telling you, folks, if we can listen with spiritual ears tonight, we've got loved ones ahead of us. Hebrews chapter 11. And thousands of others saying, come on, Brian. Come on, Brian. Come on, Brian. And listen, it may get harder the closer we get to the end. But thank God, sink diligently after the cross. And hallelujah, we're going to make it. Yeah.